Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everyone. We do so appreciate your joining us tonight with our episode for Nothing But the Truth with yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce. And tonight we're going to look again at our segment with turning negatives into positives. Tonight we're going to be dealing with loneliness. We're going to open, of course, with the word of prayer. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, Rekediata. Father, we do so bless you. We do so honor you on tonight, oh God. And we just thank you, oh Lord God, because it is through you that we live, move, and have our very being, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that says to cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, oh Lord God. So we thank you for that tonight. Father, we pray on tonight, God, that these words will fall upon the right heart, oh Lord God, and that the heart would be in tune to receive what you have for us on tonight, God. I pray now, God, that it would reach the ear, that it would reach the ear, an ear that would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, oh Lord God. I pray now, oh Lord God, that it would turn someone's negative into a positive, oh Lord God, as they seek your face and your face alone, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, and I count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Some years ago, I want to say back in 2007 or a little bit before, my daughter and her family had relocated to Washington, Seattle, Washington, and I had grown up literally or had my daughter and her children in my life for a long time, and this was like the first time I found myself empty nesting. I also found myself in a single status, if you will, because I had divorced about a year or so before my daughter relocated to Seattle, Washington. So I found myself in a place of empty nesting. I found myself in a place of feeling alone. My first Mother's Day was the most horrific thing I had ever experienced in that she wasn't here, my son wasn't here, family wasn't here. And although I'm a outspoken or I'm a friendly person, I had always centered everything around my family, my children, my grandchildren. And so to be in that place of finding myself alone, I found myself crying out before the Lord about, you know, being divorced and feeling like, you know, I loved and now I'm not, no one's to love me. Going through this whole little thing, if you will, you know, about being lonely. And so God had to begin to speak to me and remind me of his word that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. But loneliness is something especially that those who are single have to deal with. And then even those who perhaps are married, there are people who are married, have family all around them, and yet they find themselves in a lonely situation, a lonely status. And so on tonight, we want to take a look at turning the negative of loneliness into a positive and getting to a place where we are in the presence of God and God alone. And so when I was looking at the word lonely and looking at what it means to be lonely, I found myself looking at it from two aspects. And one of them was, you know, are you lonely or are you isolated? And I think that those are two different words, because when we talk about being lonely, that you can find yourself in a status quo, if you will, of being alone. Some circumstances, some things could have happened that you found yourself in a lonely place or alone. But isolation is when you choose not to have people around you, or when you choose, you know, to isolate yourself. And so we just want to, again, take a closer look at what it is to be lonely, or have you isolated yourself. We definitely want to look at that and begin to differentiate which of the two are we. Are we lonely or have we isolated ourselves? Because if you've isolated yourself, then that would just be a matter of becoming outgoing. That would be a matter of showing yourself friendly. In order to have friends, the Bible says one must first show themselves friendly. And so that's just getting past some insecurities or getting past a place of not feeling like you can approach people, getting past those little places and beginning to break out of that isolation. But if you're finding yourself lonely, you're finding yourself lonely in that you're empty nested, you're in an empty nesting situation, a loved one, a spouse perhaps has died or something, and you found yourself without things that you have normally been doing, you're finding yourself now that circumstances have presented you or put you in a position of being alone. And so in those situations and circumstances, the Bible begins to minister to us. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we find that the scripture says, to everything there is a season and a purpose. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season, time, and a purpose. So how does one embrace the season and not let it consume them in a negative way? How do you embrace the place of being alone or finding a place of being divorced, finding a place of having death of a loved one, finding a place of empty nesting, and then maybe the relationship with your husband or the relationship after your children are gone, you find yourself alone. And so how do you embrace that in a positive way, in that God will be glorified in that particular season? And what is it that you're supposed to learn? What is it that you're supposed to do in order for you to get past some things? On tonight, we want to take a look at David in reading the book of 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter, the first and the second verse. You're concentrating on those two verses, but then picking up again with 22 verses 1 through 5. This is a scripture when Saul had been rejected by God, and he had put out literally a hit on David. He wanted David killed because he had found out that God had chosen David to be king, and jealousy had risen up in him. And so now we find David literally running for his life. And he's secluded himself off in a cave. And I, scripture says, and I was really, really, when I was reading it, was that like, wow, but he wasn't lonely. He wasn't alone in that he had about 300 men, because the Bible says that he really had a ministry for the rejected. Yeah, God had separated him, put him in that position, and yet even in what God was doing in him, he had found himself with the ministry of the rejected. And it said that he had about 300 or so men who had gathered in a cave with him during this particular time in his life, and yet David still felt alone. And so that gives us, you know, the understanding that there are times in our lives when we are around people and yet we can still find ourselves in a lonely place. We can still find ourselves in a position of feeling alone. And so what is it that we do during that time in that it does not consume us? What is it that we find ourselves, or what is it that we can do in order to really, really get into a place of I need God. You know what I'm saying? I need God. Most of the time when we get in a place of loneliness, what ends up happening is the enemy infiltrates and begins to drop nuggets of negativity in our mind to make us feel like God has rejected us in some way. I know for myself personally, I was crying out to God and was, you know, telling the Lord, God, I've loved. I've given love, oh Lord God. And here I am in the position, Lord God, of being by myself. I don't have anybody. Oh, come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. You know, and just really, really in my own way, having my own little pity party, as opposed to getting in a place and saying, okay, God, I'm in this season now. I'm by myself for whatever the reason, my doing, you know, you've allowed it. What is it that I can do, God, to glorify you in this particular season of my life? And so even if you're around family, you know, especially those of us who, let's talk, oh, my God, I feel this thing in my spirit, especially those of us who have decided to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And in doing so, people around us who feel like it don't take all that. You know, you trying to be deeper than everybody else. You don't want to do the things that you normally do. You don't want to be spraddle the fence anymore. You really ready to put your hand to the plow and not look back, you know. And then so you have those who will separate themselves from you, who will separate themselves from you because they feel like you're too deep, you know. And then in that season, you know, feeling like you've been rejected, feeling the ridicule of people who you trusted. Come on, somebody. And so now you're in this place of being alone. You know, how do you deal with that? When we think about, even on last week, when we were talking about how the man of God in Scripture was running from the queen, from Jezebel. He was running from Jezebel, and, you know, he had gotten into this place sitting under the juniper tree, and he started feeling alone. Depression had slipped in, and there he is finding himself saying, you know, everybody else, God, then gave up on you, and I alone, you know, by myself. The enemy always tries to make you feel like, watch this, like God has isolated you. But we know in Scripture God says that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the world. So I think that one of the things that we have to do when we find ourselves in a position of feeling alone, or when we find ourselves in a position of being lonely, is to remind ourselves that God will never leave us, and not let the circumstances that surrounds us consume us to a point where we begin to have a pity party, where we begin to look at I, as opposed to looking at God. Amen. And so that's one of the things that we definitely want to do. So we have David here, who finds himself in 1 Samuel 19, and then picking up again with verse 22, 1 through 5, we have him feeling like he is alone. We have him, you know, going through the motion. He's got all these people around him, yet he's been separated from family, from those who he felt like he needed to be close to. And so I wanted to pick up and read for you in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. 1 Samuel, give me a second. I'm going to the 22nd chapter. And I want to read for you verses 1 through 5, where David therefore departed thence and escaped to a cave in Adullam. And when his brethren, all his father's house, heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Here he is now, the captain of the rejects, the captain of those who were going through, the captain, you know what I'm saying? And so God, he gives him a ministry, even in his departing and running from King Saul, God still has given him a ministry. And there with him about 400 men, and David went thence to Mizpah and Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And so even in his place of loneliness, he's still trying to find a place for his mother and for his father. He's still trying to seek the direction of what it is that God is doing. Again, going back to Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a time, there is a season. There is a purpose for everything that we go through, and understanding that God knows and that God cares, even in the midst of your feeling lonely. You know, and I'm reminded of how even when Job was going through and he was feeling a sense of rejection, and friends had, was talking about him, and he lost everything that he had. My God, my God, my God. And how he must have felt. But then even in his crying out to God, even in his feeling like, you know, he just kept saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so we have to begin to understand that God knows, even in your place of loneliness, even in your place of feeling alone, even in your place of your choosing to isolate yourself, God knows. And so, this thing is good. And so we have to begin to understand, like David, and understand that we need to know what God will do. We need to hear from God. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole. So here David, he's still in hiding. He's still been separated from his loved ones, But he's waiting for God. He needs to know what it is that God would do. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Get thee to the land of praise. Come on, somebody. Get thee to the land of praise. And when David departed and came into the forest of Harith, when Saul heard that David was discovered and the men were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah and under a tree, and Ramah having his spear in his hand. I really just wanted to focus on verse 5, how the angel of the Lord told him to get thee to the land of Judah. And we understand that Judah means praise. So you've got to begin, even in your loneliness, oh my God, even in feeling alone, hallelujah, even in your isolated place, you've got to begin to get to the land of Judah. You got to begin to get to a place where you can praise God even in the midst of it. It's something about praise, hallelujah, that brings in the very presence of God. There's something about praise, come on somebody, that stirs up the very presence and the intimacy of God in you. Praise. Get thee. Come out of your hole. Come out of the place of loneliness and get thee, hallelujah, to the place of Judah. My God, and so we first have to recognize, in our understanding of what God is doing, is to find out what it is that God is doing, and to still not turn to a place of complaining, not turn to a place where we're complaining, but then we got to get to that place of a place of praise, amen. And so as we begin to do that, as we begin to go, as we begin to hear what it is that God would have us to do, even as David sent for his mother and father, and he put him in a secure place. He put him in a secure place, but he himself still went to be alone. And so when we look at that, when we think about that, we have to begin to understand and see, God, what is it that you're doing? Seek God to find out, God, what is it that you would have me to learn in this place? What is the purpose of this lonely place that I'm in? I know for myself, in retrospect, I can definitively say that God had to get me to a place of dependency on him. God had to get me to a place of reacquainting myself with him intimately, with my daughter not there, the grandkids not there, but getting to know how to withdraw and get to him. So he had separated me now so that he and I could get reacquainted with each other. Come on, somebody. Because I had been giving myself in my marriage. I had been giving myself as a mother and as a grandmother. And these times had taken away some things. And now it's time for me and God to get reacquainted. So if I'm ministering to you, if you're in the place of loneliness, if you're finding yourself alone, I'm ministering to you now. This is the time now where you can get to a place of knowing God. He said that if you will call me, I will answer. He says if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. He says if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. And so let this be a time, even in what looks like the enemy is trying to make you think that God has isolated you. But God is saying, no, not so. I've got you in a place where I want to reacquaint myself to you. I want to reacquaint myself as El Shaddai. I want to reacquaint myself as the Lord God, your banner. Come on, somebody. And so get intimate with him. Get intimate with him. Don't get angry. Don't get angry. Don't focus on what you don't have. Don't focus on who's gone. Don't focus on who's rejected you. But focus in on this being a time frame where God can do the exceedingly, where you can begin to hear from the Lord the more and the more. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited about this lesson. And so we find out that admitting loneliness is not a negative confession, but an honest and an open expression of a human need. And we understand that in the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam and Eve, he spoke and he said that it's not good for man to be alone. And he made Eve for him, something like-minded. You know, you have those people who try to satisfy their loneliness with a pet. And I'm not knocking that. I'm not knocking it. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible talks about how he made someone of like kind, of his like kind. I don't care how much you talk to a dog, he's not going to have a conversation with you. And I hear people saying, you know, my dog looked like he was saying, but he didn't say, okay? He can't verbally converse with you. Come on, somebody. Yes, yeah, yeah. Okay, and so we have to begin. He, God understood that we needed companionship. He understood that we needed companionship. And then if we look even closer, you know, as far as David was concerned, how he and Jonathan had a close relationship. Even in his running from Saul, he and Jonathan had a close relationship. They were of like mind. They were of like spirit. And so it's important. It's important for us to understand that we need not be alone. But there are times when loneliness is good. There are times when it's time for us to withdraw and begin to seek some alone time with God, to hear from him, to get direction and things of that nature. We think about Jesus Christ, how the Bible talks about Jesus found it necessary. It was a necessity for him to withdraw and to go into a solitary place. Amen. And so if you're finding yourself in alone, ask God, is this a time where you want me to be in a solitary place? Is this a time that you want me to hear you in a more intimate way? Is this a time for you and I to get closer than we ever been before? Are you ready to take me to a higher height in my spirituality, in my sensitivity to know when you are around? So there are times, come on somebody, when being lonely or being in a place of solitude, it's necessary. In Mark 11 and Mark 14 and 23, it says, after he has dismissed him, he went up into a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone. And so there's a difference in being alone and then being lonely. Amen. Just like we talked about, it's a difference in being lonely and being isolated. And so you've got to begin to differentiate what's really going on in you. What's really going on in you? Are you isolated? Have you isolated yourself to a place where you've cut off? You don't want to be around people. You've chosen. I would say that isolation is a choosing. And then are you found yourself to be alone, whereas circumstances have arisen that you found yourself in a position of being alone? And we've already given example to the death of a loved one, your empty nesting, things of that nature. You found yourself, your circumstances have presented you. Now, even though you found yourself to be alone, you don't have to be lonely. Amen, amen, amen. You don't have to be lonely. And so for those of us who are in ministry, and it can be very demanding, we can take time alone to meet with God. You know, if you're in a position, if you're a leader or something, this would be an opportunity for you to reacquaint. I know even during my time, once I got up, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to me like me. And the Lord was like, okay, get up, blow your nose, put on your big girl drawers, and let's deal with this thing. Okay, let's deal with this thing. And at that point in time, I began to start attending CCTI. I started taking classes, ministry classes. I started being more active in church. Not that I wasn't already, but I began to focus more on ministry and what God desired for me to do at that time, because I could give my whole self wholeheartedly to ministry now, because there was not a need in the natural, if you will, that demanded my time. So I would be able, at this point in time in my life, I was able to give myself wholeheartedly to ministry. And so I was the coordinator of the women's ministry and was doing that. I began to effectuate Hope Alliance, Inc. I started a nonprofit organization and began to help women who were going. I began to ask God what it is that he wanted to do. And I began to do what God had assigned me to do. I began to be more sensitive to what God assigned me to do. Now, in that, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you know, don't make yourself busy doing church work, but get in a position to hear from God so that you can begin to be released into the kingdom. I hope you're understanding and hearing what I'm saying. Holy Spirit, you know, because we can get busy. We can get busy especially those who you still have a husband in the house, but you finding yourself lonely. You still have children, but you finding yourself lonely. Don't go and get busy in church work, and then you're not ministering to what you need to be ministering to in the home. Oh, snap, I know I'm speaking to somebody. You're not ministering to your husband. You're not ministering to your children because you are alone. So then in that particular situation, you need to find out what's the disconnect. What's the disconnect with you and with God in that you're finding yourself in a lonely place? Come on, somebody. You're finding yourself in a lonely place even though you have the ministry of being a wife. You have the ministry of being a mother. Amen. So you want to find out, is there any sin that needs to be dealt with? Hello? Is there a place that needs to be repented? Do you need to repent about some things so that that loneliness or that void can be filled with the very presence of God? Hallelujah. And so, yeah, that's what I hear the Lord say. And so as we begin, well, those of us who are in ministry, we find ourselves in a position where we need to retreat so that we can hear what it is that God, to get clarity in our directions, to know what it is that God would have us to do. Then there are situations that causes loneliness and rejection to come in, such as, you know, being physically disabled, coming into a disease or something of that nature may have caused you to be alone. I want to make mention of a woman who I happy to be around, and her name is Missionary Woods, and this is a lady who is paralyzed from like her waist down. She's been in a nursing home for a very, very long time, but I promise you, whenever you go and visit Missionary Woods, when you leave out of there, if you went in there sad, you was going to come out rejoicing, because this is a woman of God who has found contentment even in a place of being challenged in her body. She loves God so much that she doesn't have time to have pity parties. Amen. She found ministry. She found a ministry even in the position that she found herself in. Nurses come in her room so that she can encourage them. I've sat there and watched people come in her room and how she just has an encouraging word. So she's not laying there feeling sorry. God, why did you put me here? She turned that negative into a positive and found a way to minister God through people who come into her room. The person that brings her food, encouraging them, asking them, do they know Jesus? Isn't that amazing? That is an amazing thing. And so it's always a joy. It's always a joy to visit Missionary Woods and to just minister to her. And so we have to get into a position where we learn how to turn the challenges that are happening to us, the negative things that are happening to our lives, where we're turning them around in so much that it's not us having a pity party. But we praise our way through. Praise our way through. Don't you dare give up now when you can pray your way through. Praise your way through. Yes, so we've got to begin to know how to praise our way through, how to praise our way out of a situation and a circumstance. And so there are circumstantial things, difficulties, like, you know, becoming a widow, becoming childless, death of a loved one, a family breakdown or disconnect or things of that nature. We've got to begin to learn how to take those situations and turn them around. Remember in Scripture, Psalms 27:10 says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You know, I can remember when my father died, and I was very, very close to my father. And it seemed like all of the love that I had for him shifted, and my mother and my relationship was strengthened because my father had died, and our relationship was strengthened. And then when my mother passed away, it was different for me. There was no shifting. There was nothing to do. And then God began to remind me. I remember at my mom's funeral, I literally spoke in tongues throughout the whole funeral, just trying to build myself up in my spirit, man, because of this great loss. And so we've got to begin to understand that when your mother forsakes you, when your mother and father forsake you, or even if I would go so far that say when your mother and father have gone on to be with the Lord, you know, not finding yourself in a place of loneliness. And I know people who every anniversary of the death of a loved one, they find themselves rehashing and pulling the scab off of a wound that God was trying to heal, that grief, you know, or perhaps they never really dealt with the grief the way they needed to. And so that thing oozing out again, and they find themselves in a place of becoming depressed and crying things of that nature. So we've got to begin to understand that God says when your mother and father forsake, or when your mother and father leave, God says, I, the Lord, I'll lift you up. And we've got to allow God to lift you up. I can't even remember off the top of my head when my father passed away. I can't even remember off the top of my head when my mother passed away. I don't find myself saying I miss them so much, mainly because I've come to understand that they are in a better place. We say that, but we only say it out of our mouth. I celebrate the fact now that my father and my mother, come on somebody, is in heaven, and that they are sitting with Jesus. They're walking around. They're with that great cloud of witnesses. Amen. Amen. And so we've got to begin to understand that. So if you've lost a loved one, begin to learn how to celebrate, you know, the fact that they're with the Lord. Learn how to celebrate the fact that they're with the Lord, so that you don't go into depression, so you don't go into a lonely place on the eve or the anniversary of their death, you know, or on their birthday and things of that nature. You don't want to do that. You want to begin to acknowledge the place that God prepared a place for them, and they went to be in the place. Come on, somebody, that he prepared for them. Amen, amen. Okay, and so we've got to remember that it is God who knows everything. So even in your position of where you are, don't be angry at God for being in a position of being alone. Don't be in that state. Don't get to the state of allowing the enemy to take you to a place where you're so angry at God because you're alone. But begin to say, God, you've got me here. Acknowledge, God, I'm alone. I'm alone now, God. What is it that you would have me to do? What is the purpose and the plan that you have for me? Why? Because your word says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plan I have for you. I already know the plan. I knew that this alone time was going to come. And I've already written down what it is you need to be doing. So you need to seek God and say, God, what is it that you would have me to do at this point and juncture in my life? What is it that I can do that's going to better the kingdom? Come on, somebody. Hey, God, I feel like that. And so we've got to begin to understand that God's hand is in it. That God's hand is in it, and then begin to know. So in Psalms 4:3, it says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. Know that God hears you, even in this place of alone. He hears you. He hears your voice. He knows you. And then allow him to minister to you and get you to the first place that he needs you to be during this time. That you can still be effective, that God can still utilize you. And so as we begin to look at that and begin to allow God to look at us and to know us where we are, God has a solution. That God has a solution for this alone time. God has a solution for loneliness. Again, the scripture said, draw near to God. Draw near to God. Get close to him. Begin to feel his presence, you know. Begin to know that he is near, so that we understand that we're never alone. We're never alone. We may not be surrounded by people. Come on, somebody. Or we may be surrounded by people who are not in the same place that we are. And so the enemy is trying to make us think that we are alone. But God says that we are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:6-8 says, be strong and courageous. The Lord himself will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalms 22, verse 1, verse 11, and verse 16 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel like God isn't there to help. He said people may not be there. Hear me, but God is there. In John 8, verses 16 and verse 29, it says, I am not alone. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. So we've got to begin to know that God is not alone. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, and God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Again, going back, that's the same or can be cross-referenced with the scripture that we just read to you in Deuteronomy. And so God sees and God knows, and God will never leave us alone. We have to understand that God cares about us. The Bible says, cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. So we have to begin to understand that. We have to begin to allow God to minister to us in this place that we're at, to meet us right where we are, and he will do that. And then we have to understand that God's answer is a practical answer. You know, again, What can I do, God? What can I do, God? I'm finding myself in a place of being alone. What is it that you would have me to do for the kingdom? And you can adopt a family. You can adopt a family in your church that has some needs, and you may be the answer to a need that they have. Allow God to use you. You can, you know, if those of you who are in a marriage, you know, begin to allow God to mend and to fix some things in that marriage. Or if you're single, and you're waiting on God, you know, to be open enough to allow God to introduce the one who he has for you. Let he find you. Let him who find you. Come on, somebody. Don't you go looking if you're a woman. Let he who find you. Don't you go look it. Amen. But you put yourself in a position of being busy. And we often talk about the book of Ruth, and we often talk about Boaz and how he found her and how she was busy and doing the things of the Lord when he found her. And we need to keep that in mind. She wasn't looking for Boaz. She was trying to glean. She was trying to get some food for her and for her mother-in-law. She wasn't looking for him, but in her busyness, in her working, in her doing what she needed to do, she had found favor. She found favor in the eyes of Boaz, and he eventually found her. And so we want to make sure that that's what we're doing. And then you want to enlarge your friendship and begin to reach out, begin to talk to people, begin to show yourself friendly. So these are just some practical ways that God can answer your place of loneliness, and again in ministry, but God who comforts the downcast, comforted by us through the coming of Titus. God sent ministry to find ourselves in ministry. Remember, we even talked about how David, when he found himself in a cave, God still he made him captain over those who was in debt, those who rejected, those who he still was ministering. He still was doing what God would have him to do. And find joy in what it is that God would have you to do. Find joy in that place that God would have you to do. And so understanding that you have to begin to do some things. Look for some practical ways of which God can begin to utilize, and God can begin to fill that void of loneliness that's trying to eat away at you. So understand that negative experiences can yield positive results. And on today's lesson, we're talking about turning negatives into positive. If the agony of loneliness drives us to seek God, to search for him in the Word, we will find an inner strength upon which others will be able to draw. That as we begin to fill ourselves up, as we begin to fill that void of loneliness with the presence of God and getting into the presence of God, so much so that when people see us, they'll know that we've been with the Lord. Amen. They'll know that we're experiencing, oh my God, we're experiencing the more and the more of him. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm speaking to somebody right now. If you're in a place now that you're feeling alone, you're feeling lonely, and you're trying to slip even into a depression, you're feeling like he left me and he didn't find any good in me, and I can hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, if you will but allow me to draw nigh unto you, if you will but draw nigh unto me, and I will meet you, I will begin to pour myself into you, in so much so that others would know that you've been with the Lord. So if you could just begin to open yourselves up, that the Comforter would come. Remember, God said that I'm not going to leave you. Jesus, when he went away, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll abide on the inside of you. Oh, my God. Allow the Holy Spirit to get a larger apartment in you. Let him move from the studio in your heart and begin to let him go. Come on, somebody. To the mansion. Let him have full occupancy in your life. Oh, yes, God. Let him have full occupancy in your life. Amen. Amen. So those are the things that we want to begin to understand. Solitude can yield a positive spiritual impact when we're driven to a place of being alone with God, when we're driven to a place to begin to start noticing things around you. You know, I'm reminded of the scripture that said that you're the king, as I died, then I saw the Lord. There are some things that have restricted our view of seeing God in everything. Amen. And so even in our place of solitude, we can begin to see clearly. We can begin, the trees start looking different. You didn't even know that the leaves were made the way they were on the tree that was in front of your house. You didn't even notice that the cardinal bird had been flying around. Come on, somebody. But in your place of solitude, in your place of being alone, now you can begin to look around and appreciate the handiwork of God. Appreciate the handiwork of God. And so there is a place, there is a positive place, a spiritual impact that can happen in your solitude, in your time of being alone. In Luke 8:29, it says, for Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into a solitary place. Don't allow the forces of evil to drive you in a place of solitude, but allow that place of solitude where you are, allow Jesus to come and meet you in that place. Allow Jesus to come and meet you and turn that negative thing into a positive impact, a meeting of where God is. Loneliness can lead to suicidal thoughts for some people. You want to cast down those imaginations. You want to fill yourself up with the presence of God. So don't allow your loneliness to begin to give you some thoughts, some negative thoughts and negative things that are not of God. Begin to cast those things down and meet Jesus where you are. Begin to see the goodness of God around you, even in your solitary place. Begin to appreciate what God has given unto you, even in your place of solitude and in your place of being alone. Begin to see God. And so we don't want our loneliness to begin to get us to a place whereas we're not doing what the Lord will have us to do. We don't want our loneliness to put us in a position and a place where we can't appreciate God and appreciate what God is doing. But we have to begin, first of all, to confront and to begin to confront and let God know, to begin to confess unto God where we are, and then open ourselves up to allow God to come in and fill the void of loneliness. God can fill it. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God can fill it. God filled my place of loneliness back in 2007 with some friends, with some spiritual daughters. My daughter had moved out of town, but God gave me spiritual daughters that came into my life and began to help me and began to minister to me. And I began to pour what I knew, my wisdom, into them. And it was a healthy, a beneficial relationship. And so we've got to begin to understand that God God knows. And even in that, hallelujah, even in that, in ministering to one young lady, pulling her out of a place of destitution. She felt destitute. She felt rejected. She felt that she couldn't be used. And God has raised her up, hallelujah, to minister to others and called her into ministry and things of that nature. God can do it. He can take you right where you are. Right where you are, but you've got to begin to make yourself available in order to make friends. In order to make friends, you must first show yourself friendly. And so on today, if you will, I just want to try. This is a song by Donald McDowell. William I would like that, even if that is just ministering to you where you are, those of you who are listening, we're going to prepare to close in prayer. That song, again, is by William McDowell, and it's called Closer, Wrap Me in Your Arms. And just even in the scripture that we've shared with you on tonight, if you found yourself in a place of alone, if you found your place yourself in a place of loneliness, isolated, a solitary place, it's a place that you want to be with God, but you're not finding the contentment that you need. You're not finding it to be something that's satisfying. It's not satisfying your appetite. And God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that if you're in a place of solitude where you should be getting fed from the Lord and you're not finding it to be appetizing to you, I pray now, God, that you would begin to change that palate, so Lord God, begin to change their taste buds, oh God, that they'll be able to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah, God. Oh, Father, begin to change, oh Lord God, the taste buds, their spiritual taste buds, oh God, that they can taste the more of you and become satisfied. That you'll begin to satisfy their appetite with the more of you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray for the one, God, who's finding themselves in a lonely place, oh Lord God, and depression is trying to creep in, oh Lord God, and they're finding themselves, God, feeling like they can't be loved and no one will love them, oh Lord God. I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will let them know that for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, God, let them understand that they are the whosoever, oh Lord God, and that they'll begin to draw to you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God, to those who are experiencing these things, oh God, I pray now, Holy Spirit, begin to make your presence known. Oh Holy Spirit, we call on you now, Holy Spirit, the comforter, to begin to comfort those who found themselves in a lonely place because of the death of a loved one, because of the death of a child, oh Lord God. Oh God, and there's a void, Father, that needs to be filled. Holy Spirit, comforter, begin to comfort. They found themselves in a position and a circumstance, oh God, whereas a husband walked away, oh Father God. Oh Holy Spirit, begin to comfort. In the name of Jesus, the children have grown up, they've gone off to college, and you find yourself in a position of the place, but of not knowing, Father, reignite their fire. Ignite their fire, God, in ministry, Father. Show them, speak to them, oh God, to know the direction, to know the place that you call for them, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them ministry even in their solitude. Oh, my God. Give them ministry, even in their solitude, Father. Now, God, begin to wrap your arms around them, Father, and draw them close to you, that they'll begin to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That in this place, oh, Lord God, of solitude, in this place of alone, oh, Father God, that they'll begin to see your handiwork, so God, and appreciate you the more, God. In this place, oh Lord God, that you would begin to fine-tune, that you would begin to strip away that which was never needed, oh Lord God, and begin to pour into them, God, to make them living vessels, oh Lord God, vessels to be used by the Master, oh Lord God, as you found them and put them in a position of pouring out that, oh Lord God, which once was, oh God, pouring out that which they once held, oh Lord God. But now you want to fill them up, God, with something that's more of you, God. Something, oh Lord God, that is better tasting, oh Lord God. Something, God, that's better to be used of kingdom, oh God, as you, God, begin to pour into them, Father. Oh God. In the name of Jesus. The more of you, God. The more of you, God. Oh, yeah, God. The more of you, God. When our mother and our father forsake us, then the Lord will lift us up. So, God, I pray that there now be a lifting up, oh, God. A lifting up, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. The ministry is being poured into them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody's getting direction, oh Lord God, of what direction, what step they need to take, oh Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. You are preparing them, oh Lord God, to do ministry, God. You're preparing them, oh Lord God, a family that needs somebody in their life, oh Lord God, a mentor, to mentor a young person at their church, oh Lord God. There's so much to be done in the kingdom, God. Reveal to them what it is you would have them to do, even in this place. So, Father, we bind, oh, Lord God, every negative thing that the enemy has tried to tell them. We bind everything that the enemy has told them that they're not usable, God. We bind that and we cast that down in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind and pull down every lie that the enemy has whispered in their ear, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they don't have enough education, that they're not usable enough, they don't talk clearly enough, God. Whatever it is that the enemy has whispered, we pull it down now in the name of Jesus. Take our alone time, God. This time of solitude and begin to reveal your secrets. Jesus, take this place of solitude and begin to reveal your secrets, oh God. Begin to share your thoughts. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's not your desire to keep secrets from us, oh God. You didn't hide it from us. I heard a man of God say, you didn't hide it from us. You hid it for us. Let this be the opportunity where you pull it out of the secret hiding and begin to share with us, God. Oh, the more of you. Oh, Jesus. Do it for your glory. Do it, God, that you will be glorified. Do it, God, that you will be enlarged in us. For you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. So fill the void. Fill the void, I pray. In the name of Jesus. We count this prayer as done by faith. And it is so, and so it is. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Whew, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we pray that this episode has been a blessing to you. We pray now that it has found you in a place and that it has filled the void and that now you've been reignited to go and do what God will have you to do for this season in your life, this season that the enemy tried to tell you was a negative. It has now been turned into a positive. Hallelujah. You can now do what God has assigned your hands to do. Again, thank you so much for joining us on tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth. And we would so appreciate it if you would go to our Facebook page and like our Facebook page. And we'll also be putting this particular episode on our Facebook page for Truth Deliverance Ministry, Truth Deliverance Ministry with a Y. You're welcome to email us at truthdeliveranceministry@yahoo.com. Or you can like our page and comment on our page. Share our page with somebody who you feel like is going through this a tumultuous time in their life with loneliness and being alone. Forward this to them, and we pray that it'll be a blessing. But most of all, we do so look forward to hearing from you. We would love to hear from you just hear your questions, your comments, whatever it is. Again, if there's something that you would like for us to talk about, we do not have a problem in coming back and sharing that with you. So if you got any questions, any comments, or something that you'd like for us to talk about, also let that be known either via email or let it be known via our Facebook page. Again, thank you for joining us with tonight's episode of Nothing But the Truth as we begin to deal with turning a negative of loneliness into a positive. And so, again, thank you for joining us. We do look forward to hearing from you all next week as we come back with another segment. I think it'll be the last one for this particular series, Turning Negatives into Positives. Please join us. We look forward to hearing from you. And until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours.